Less Annoying CRM is a user-friendly customer relationship management software. The sales staff at 590 The Fan has been using it for 2 years now, and the transition seamless. The setup only took a few minutes, and the sales staff caught on very quickly, unlike other CRM software. Less Annoying CRM has an outstanding support team and has walked us through any situation that arose. To contact Less Annoying CRM and to receive an extended 60-day free trial, go to insidestl.com/CRM. This also includes free training and setup assistance from one of their CRM coaches.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
That's that thing they play, especially they used to play the drive-ins, and then they would do that suggestive stuff where a hot dog jumps into a bun. It's really suggestive.
What does it suggest?
Well, a hot dog sliding into a bun, mm-hmm. jumping into the bun.
Suggest go get a hot dog?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what I meant.
Right.
Hang on 1 second here. Smokey, you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Our guest is here. Thanks for letting him in. Appreciate it.
No problem. I think is his name Jim?
No, his name's Jay, right? Is that right, Jay? Don't talk, just nod. Yeah, I haven't introduced you. His name's Jay. Smokey, you've got a call button. See on the front of it, it says call. What's this?
Oh, yeah, cool.
So if you need me, you can call me. Yeah. Out.
Okay.
Okay, out.
Out.
So what we're doing, they built this great studio, and they didn't put it. Oh, my goodness, yeah. You got Bandit. Go ahead. Over.
Over and out.
No, wait, you called me to say over and out?
Yeah, I didn't say it earlier.
Oh, okay. All right, out. When I say out, you got to say out back.
Oh, okay.
You got to say them together. Out.
Out.
Okay, see, now that's officially over. Okay. Eventually, we'll get a talkback system in here. So here's what we have. We have a guest in the studio every Tuesday. For quite a while, we had movie reviews. Max Foisy did them and did them well at the other station, but he works for the other station, sadly. And he hasn't realized how sad that is yet, but it is sadly. And so I'm getting all these emails, mostly from people who want to do the tech segment, because on Mondays we did a tech segment. How to shop for a phone, which flat screen TV is better, why can't I get my computer to do this, that kind of thing. So we'll audition some of those guys. But our very first auditioning segment host. And the reason I'm taking long to do this is I want him really nervous. The more I make him wait and the anxiety, I want to see if this guy's got what it takes. Let me just introduce him. From Columbia, Missouri, it's Jay Yelton, right?
It's Jim. Dan was right.
Why do I think it's Jim?
I have no idea.
Wait, Dan was what?
He was, well, he made...
Hang on 1 second. Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah, you got Acorn.
No, you're Smokey.
Oh, that's right.
What the heck's the matter with you?
You've got Smokey.
Smokey, this guy said you were right that his name is not Jay, it's Jim. So I just wanted you to know because you're never right about anything.
Oh, 10-4. Well, thanks for letting me know. Out.
I'm sorry, folks, but that's what we have to do until we get a talk back. Would you please welcome from Columbia, Missouri, Jim Yelton.
Listen to that crowd.
I know. Yeah. You're sweating already. You're sweating a little bit.
You know,
that's good.
I'm glad
you
that
got, you got to work this real close because our walls are like,
yeah,
it's like
the
a
walls,
cave.
Yeah.
We don't have the soundproofing in here, deadening material.
I was going to say, I'm glad that you guys waited until week two and you had everything ironed out and there's not been any problems or anything.
Are you trying to be funny, making fun?
Because
you know things aren't ironed out. You know there's still a bunch of mistakes being made. Wow, way to go.
I haven't noticed. Trevor has been doing great today.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he died.
Well, today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But before we go any further, I just want to say,
yeah,
I am AM in the PM.
That's good to hear. That's a good start.
It's amazing that you've got this like heavenly choir in the corner just waiting for people to say that.
They just stand there until we mm-hmm. need them.
It's amazing.
Now, when I talk to you on the phone, I can make something very clear to you. I don't know how thick your skin is. I don't know you. I've never met you. I talked to you on the phone for 10 minutes. If you're no good, we're just going to tell you, sorry, you just weren't any good. Can you handle that?
I assume that I'm going to be no good and that you'll tell me that. But
why would you? Hold on. What kind of attitude? Why would you assume you're going to be no good? What kind of attitude is that?
I have no idea. I don't even know why I was looking at Trevor when I said that. Because
You're nervous.
Yeah, because now I'm nervous.
All right. That's good.
I am originally from St. Louis, though. I mean, you told everybody I live in Columbia now, but
I never said you were from
St. Louis.
Now he's lying.
Is nice. My hometown, right. And I'm glad to be here.
But you live in Columbia, Missouri, and the point is, you're dumb enough to drive from Columbia, Missouri,
in the rain.
What's the matter with you? And I made it clear to him on the phone: there's not much money in this.
Wait, there's money.
No, I told you that. I made that clear. So, what's your story, Jim Yelton?
What's my story?
How old are you?
I am 45.
Are you married?
I'm married. I have two kids.
All right.
14 and 17.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
I do this for a living.
You come here in the studio for a living?
This is all I've got. No, I work in radio.
See, when you stepped, would you hear that? Like a cave. Mm-hmm. You can't step away.
I did.
You can't back off. What do you do?
I've worked in radio for 20-something years. I've been a talk show host. I do commercial production.
Whoa, wait a minute.
And
this is quite the resume.
Credentials.
Yeah.
I host my own radio talk show called Geek Universe.
Has anybody ever heard it?
Well, I assume so.
Do you have a way of knowing how many listeners you have?
Oh, yeah. Several dozen, at least.
Damn, Frank. That's quiet.
It's in the hundreds sometimes.
And what is the Geek Universe show about?
Like the title says, it's about the Geek Universe. It's about everything and anything geeky and nerdy and movies and TV and books and games and all sorts of stuff. So do you
not have a job?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I do radio production for commercials and things like that.
For yourself?
For a radio station in Mexico, Missouri.
Okay. And that pays the bills?
I'm being very secretive because they don't know I'm here right now.
Oopsie.
Well, they do now.
I think he's worried.
They do now.
Oopsie.
They do now. They do now, Gary.
They do.
This is where we change your name.
That's why you called me Jay earlier. I wasn't picking up on it.
So in a moment we'll get to why you're here, but we do want to get to know a little bit about you. You have two kids. You come to St. Louis for anything else, or you actually, and I told you that if you get this gig, you'd have to drive from Columbia, Missouri every week.
My mom still lives here.
Is she listening? Did you tell her you're going to be on here?
I hope she's listening. I did tell her I was going
to
be on.
Okay. Hi to your mom.
Hi, Mom. Yeah. She's taking care of my grandfather right now, who's having some health issues. So
you won't get this job with that sympathy stuff. I have cancer, okay? Yeah, I'm lucky to have the job. I'm not kidding. If people who think, oh, that's not funny, I actually do. But it's not going to kill me or anything. So let's go. You're going to discuss whatever you want to discuss. Ladies and gentlemen, he may or may not, you may never hear him again here, and you may. We'll find out.
We'll
from
see.
Columbia, Missouri, although he technically says he's from St. Louis. Here is, with his first movie review and whatever else he wants to talk about, Jim Yelton. It's all yours.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on, and, you know, like we talked the other day, you kind of threw it out to me and said, could be something you've seen, not seen, something coming out. The big thing this weekend was Blade Runner, the sequel, Blade Runner 2049, came out.
Quick observation. You don't have any notes? You don't have any notes.
Why do I need notes?
Wow.
Look at that. Now, most people would have come in here with some prepared notes, not you.
All up here.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Until I forget something, and then...
I saw the original Blade Runner, and I hated it.
You did. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those movies that was a cult classic in the 80s, and for some reason a lot of studios now are coming along and saying, well, we want to mine for nostalgia purposes all this stuff in the 80s,
even if it was bad.
Well, and I don't necessarily know that it was bad. I just think that there's a very small audience that loves that movie.
Now, might add, it's okay to disagree with me. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
If you completely disagree, just say it,
which is why
you'll
I
never
said,
be
I,
back
I but... don't know that it's bad. I think for a small select group of us who love that movie, it is a work of art.
And you are a geek.
I host a show called Geek Universe.
So you
yes,
would
I am.
Admit you're a geek.
Now, I am the king of geeks.
Don't take this the wrong way. People can't see you. You look like a geek.
Thanks.
You do. That's not necessarily an insult.
My youngest daughter.
Bill Gates looks like a geek. Look at him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not Bill Gates, but I'll take a look at it. My youngest daughter always says, what's the difference between a nerd and a geek? And she says, nerds, can actually do things. They know technology and things like that. Geeks just know a lot about movies and stuff and know trivia. Hmm. Like, if I could figure out a way to make a living now, just see, on the trivia
that table
I know,
like that, we hear that.
Oh,
no, no, you're not a you are a professional broadcaster.
I don't have a studio that's got a crazy desk that picks up on the microphone. What were we talking about? Blade Runner. So Blade Runner to me is one of those movies that didn't need a sequel and shouldn't have a sequel because it said everything it had to in that first movie. And for some reason, a studio was dumb enough to say, we're going to spend $150 million on a sequel and hope that it's a huge blockbuster movie just because people have spent the last 30 plus years talking about it and how amazing the first one is. But there's a huge group of people in the audience like yourself that don't get Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And those are the people that you need to come see it to make it a blockbuster hit movie. And I think that's where the problem is.
You could say that with anything. If all the people who don't want to see it would all come and see it, it'd be a blockbuster.
There's a difference between the hardcore fans of something and the more mainstream casual audience that goes to see movies. Like I've always said for the longest time, Star Trek has a hardcore fan base.
Right.
Those fans are going to come and spend $70 million for any Star Trek movie that comes out. That doesn't mean it's going to be a hit. You need all of those casual people who maybe watched Star Trek a time or two, or maybe liked some of the episodes.
Original when it came out, and that's it.
And that's it. And but this one seems like it's a good movie. I'm going to go see it.
Okay. What else?
So, you know, that's where Blade Runner, I think, is not the best movie to have a sequel because you don't have all of those casual people that are going to go see it. It's one of those movies that everybody says, oh, it looks great. Doesn't mean that it's a huge blockbuster movie.
Okay.
It's almost 3 hours long.
So is this review of Blade Runner.
Well, you sent me a shot.
No, no, I'm ready to move on. To something else. You made the good point.
I would say if you're a fan of the original Blade Runner, go see it just so that you can say you saw it. But I was not a huge fan of it.
All right. You liked It, you said off the air, the movie It.
Oh, yeah.
The new one.
Tim said something about It, and I did. I loved it. But I think I was the audience that was supposed to love it because I was a teenager when I read the book in the mid-80s. I remember watching the original TV miniseries when it was on in the 90s, and they made this movie for me and people like me.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, I loved it. I think it did everything that it was supposed to do. It's a good adaptation
of the
book.
Who's the guy that plays the clown? Does anybody even know who that
Bill
guy
Skarsgård.
Is?
Bill Skarsgård.
What's his name?
Bill Skarsgård.
See, if I'm going to be a movie star, I want chicks to recognize me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're Freddy Krueger or something, well, that guy actually did look kind of the same without the makeup. And so did that Ron Perlman when he was in Beauty and the Beast. He looks like a kind of a half man, half animal. Mm-hmm. But the It guy, you know, he could go to a bar and go, you know, I'm that clown. And It. Anybody could say that. So that would be frustrating for me. What's his name? Is Scarface? What's that?
Bill Skarsgård. Bill Skarsgård.
Bill Scarface. Okay, what else you got?
I don't know if anybody caught it over the weekend, but HBO premiered a immensely good documentary about Steven Spielberg.
I didn't know it.
It is great. If you have HBO, it's worth, I think it's a little over 2 hours long, and it's not your typical documentary.
What you just said, if you have HBO, that sounds like a sweat, like you have, he has HBO, heavy body odor, if he has HBO. I just thought of that. I'm trying to derail you to see how good you are.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I have two kids. I told you that.
Okay.
Steven Spielberg
is a genius. I didn't know about this documentary.
And there are two people in my life that I have said creatively have influenced me more than anybody else. One of them is Stephen King. And we were just talking about It.
Me.
And you. The third one would be Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And I found out things about him personally that as big of a fan of his as I am, I didn't know.
Bad things?
Some of them, yeah.
Like what?
He had a problem. I knew that his parents had divorced when he was younger. Right. And that influenced a lot of his early movies. It's one of the reasons why E.T. is so good, because he wanted to make this movie about this family that was falling apart. Mm. And he's commenting on his own family going through that divorce. But he didn't realize until much later in his life that his father was not the reason that his parents broke up and that his mother was actually having an affair. And he has spent most of his life blaming his father for leaving them.
He should thank his father. Look how successful he is.
Exactly. And it wasn't until, you know, probably right before Saving Private Ryan, you know, that period of time where he and his father and their estrangement kind of ended and they kind of patched things up. And
okay, what's it called?
It's called Spielberg, surprisingly enough.
And how many parts? Just one?
It's just one, yeah.
Okay.
And it's great. It goes through his whole career, but it's more about him and how his personal life affected his career.
But
and
that, it's isn't amazing. That true of anybody, though? I mean...
Yeah, but I think we all look at Steven Spielberg as being kind of this, you know, almost Willy Wonka in real life, and you don't realize some of the things about him personally as far as, you know, his marriage to Amy Irving and their divorce and his kids and when he married Kate Capshaw and like I said, his relationship
You're
with
the whole
parents.
Documentary away now.
I am not. It's amazing.
Okay, HBO Spielberg.
It is, yeah.
And I'm glad to see you actually did look down at your phone. You have a couple of notes.
I do.
No, that's good. That's
have
normal.
Some notes. Yeah.
That's what was that? What was that?
Screw up.
That was a mistake. Our screens went black, so I had to kind of wave the mouse around, and that started something.
Smokey, you there?
Hold on here.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
This is a bad idea.
Smokey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The screw up log that I gave you where you write it every time Limey screwed up, he just screwed up again, so enter that.
Roger, got it entered.
Out.
Oh, we both said out at the same time.
Well, let me do it. Out.
Out.
Okay. It's entered. Note that is entered.
Yep.
Now, does everybody on the show get a walkie-talkie?
No.
If this works out and I'm brought on board?
No, you don't get a walkie-talkie.
No walkie-talkie? No.
You don't
no.
need to talk to Dan. I do. What else? You mentioned Harvey Weinstein. You want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
I was trying to stay away.
You don't Next. Clear your... Can you play back what he just did? And what it sounded like for people that were listening? Listen to this. This is what you sounded like. Listen to this now.
Who's next? Is there somebody next out there?
I think we captured it. I thought we captured it.
Oh, no.
No, sorry. It wasn't recording. Mark it down another mistake.
Thank you.
It went.
Another screw up.
Thank you, Trevor.
That work you do, like for the station in Mexico, Missouri, do they have nice equipment? Do you have an ESS?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
I have no idea. I thought you were going to go with me and
lied.
This is all a test. You lied. You said you knew what it was. You don't know. It's an electronic slurp suppressor. We have it here. It's the latest equipment. Watch this. I will slurp this drink. Nobody will hear it. Watch this. Do you guys hear that?
Nope.
Don't have that in Mexico.
They don't.
What else do you have? You want to talk about Weinstein?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
You got to take a break so you can wipe the sweat off your forehead.
Do you want to take a break?
It's really nervous. I'm sorry to get such a pleasure out of somebody being so nervous, but I've been there.
It's not that I'm nervous. It's hot. I am very hot.
Nobody else is sweating.
I can't help that.
Now, that's bragging when you say I'm very hot. That's just flat out bragging. Saying that you're appealing, attractive
like
to women.
It's,
I'm very hot.
What my wife says.
It does she?
She a cougar.
She is, as a matter of fact.
And we're going to do you a big favor here. We're going to take a break so you can just relax, okay?
Go sit in a cool room and relax.
Yeah,
you'll
stay right here, and we'll take a break. We're going to give you a break. This is Jim Yelton. He's auditioning to be the movie reviewer here. When we come back, can we talk a little bit about Harvey Weinstein?
I would love to because it's making me upset the more that Tim talks about it in the news. Okay. I'm really upset about these people coming out of the woodwork. And
are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, he says he is. Yeah.
No, are you serious?
He says he is. That's the girl who's auditioning to do the are you serious question. Yeah. And that's her whole job. And so far, she's doing a great job.
He's a cougar.
Ballast Dental Care. Let me read here. I got a great email. I've gone there for 44 years to the dentist. 44. And here's my latest email. It's an update from a lady who said she's making her husband go there. Let me stop there. What kind of marriage is this where a guy lets his wife tell him what to do?
A normal Dad, one?
Why raise your hand? Use the walkie-talkie.
No, I was looking for Trevor.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what's up, Trevor. Dan? How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks.
How long is the break?
Oh, my goodness.
About 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. 44 years, Ballas Dental Care. Here's the lady. So I said, send me an update after your husband goes there and let me know how it went. And she did. Here's what she said. I got this yesterday, this morning, actually. Frank, my husband's first visit to Ballas Dental Care was a success. He had a few things to be done, mostly redoing improper work from a previous dentist. And even though this visit was mainly for a checkup to see what was causing his pain, Dr. Olivier was great and made time to work on the pain issue that day. We were there for almost 4 hours, but it was worth the time and the long drive. Visit number one, more to come. He has had problems with severe pain and infection in the past almost immediately after the numbing wears off with prior dentists. 3 different dentists. Not this time. Just very slight tenderness. They even gave us Dr. Olivier's cell phone number due to his history, meaning her husband's history. And she actually called our house to check on him that evening. See, none of this surprises me. That's how they operate. And then she says, wonderful. We like the staff and the overall experience. I might even brave a visit for some of the issues I'm having. AM and the PM, Mary. How about that? Now, Mary is so impressed with what they did for her husband that she will probably now become a patient. Now, let me explain what she means when she says we like the overall experience. They have you put on overalls before you get in the dentist. I'm kidding. They don't do that. Ballas Dental Care, it's a corner of Ballas and Clayton Roads. And I don't care if you haven't been to the dentist for 6 months or 16 years or longer. If you have a dentist you can't stand or you have a dentist that passed away. What I hate is when they pass away while they're working on you. Whew. Now who's going to finish up what they started? Whatever the reason, if you're not thrilled to death with your dentist, and maybe you just think you are because you don't know there's something better out there, Ballas Dental Care. The corner of Ballas and Clayton Roads, ballasdentalcare.com.
Sound like James Brown. It's not a James Brown song. I know it's not.
Our guest is Jim Yelton. He's auditioning to be the movie reviewer, and now we go back to him, and we're talking about what?
Before the break, we mentioned everybody's favorite Weinstein brother, Harvey Weinstein. It's funny because we were talking off air about all of the people that are coming out of the woodwork now. And
who
are
the latest ones? You had it in the
Gwyneth
news.
Paltrow, yeah. Mira Sorvino, Angelina Jolie.
Can you take my headphones down just a little bit? Just blah, 1, 2, 3. There you go. Thank you. Angelina Jolie now.
Mira Sorvino, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And others.
I'm sorry. It's your segment. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't understand why so many people wait for somebody else.
Right.
And then they, oh, me too.
Well, and
where were you when it happened?
That's what's making me mad about this is because Gwyneth Paltrow didn't seem all that upset about hanging around with Harvey when she was getting an Oscar for Shakespeare in Love,
right,
which he produced. And the only reason that she got an Oscar for it was because he went totally to the wall to push that as an Oscar contender. I mean, that was the same year that Saving Private Ryan came out.
Yeah.
And he knew that they had to have like this huge Oscar campaign or they were going to get blown away by Saving Private Ryan. And there's no reason on earth that Shakespeare in Love should be an Oscar winning best picture.
These women, and I don't want to make any women mad, but they're kind of hypocrites, aren't they? They utilized their feminine ways to get what they wanted. He took advantage of them, but they also took advantage of him and who he was and what he could offer. And they weren't reluctant to do it. Yet now, now that I have $80 million, he sexually harassed me.
Well, and it's not even the people that he worked with directly, like a Gwyneth Paltrow. It's, you know, the George Clooney's and the Meryl Streep's that are coming out and saying, well, we had no idea about this. And, you know, George Clooney, I think.
And Meryl Streep is lying if she said. Right. And by the way, if she said it, it's only because he didn't hit on her because she's butt ugly. Meryl Streep is not attractive. So she may be mad that he didn't ask her for a massage.
I would lay down with Meryl Streep.
You would?
Yeah. Know what? Yeah. There you go, Meryl.
I don't think she's attractive.
Good job, Limey, because Meryl Streep is, I mean, obviously she's older now. She would be what you would call a cougar or a milf.
Puma.
A puma.
Yeah. Big nose puma.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I saw a clip where she's praising that, you know, she's on some award show and she's just praising Harvey Weinstein. She knew.
Well,
when she was doing that, she knew.
And I think George Clooney was honest. He's the most
hang
honest.
On, hang on 1 second.
Oh, here we go.
Smoking?
He's asleep.
Yes.
You're not paying any attention to the show because I saw you and they're talking to Johnny Lomax.
Oh, okay.
You can't do that. What did we just talk about just now?
Yeah. Things.
He has no idea.
Meryl Streep.
He's right. He has no idea.
Meryl
Streep. Smokey, listen to me, Smokey. You got to stay with the show. You tell Johnny you're busy. You're working, okay? You think that's funny?
No, no, I don't. Not at all.
I think he thinks it's funny.
All right. Tell Johnny. Sorry, Johnny. I'm busy.
Okay. Sorry, Johnny. I'm busy.
Sorry, Dan.
All right, Smokey. I'm not kidding. Out.
10-4. Out.
Sorry you had to be part of that.
I said earlier, I'm glad that I'm here.
So where are we heading with the Weinstein thing? What's the conclusion here?
There's not one. I mean, he got fired by the company. He's not a part of the company anymore. I don't know that he's... It's not
but everybody
like,
knows that.
But everybody knows.
So do you have a different take or something, or you just wanted to mention that?
I'm just upset at all of these people, like we've said, that have come out. Like, I think George Clooney was the most honest where he said he had heard things about Harvey and knew that there were these rumors going around, and yet he still worked with him.
Sure.
And that's the problem with Hollywood, is that all of these people know things about people, or they hear rumors, and where I would make the choice to not work with somebody if I heard that they were being a jerk, you know,
to hear that he slept with George Clooney.
That would be great.
Now
that
you got harassment.
Now you got
I don't know that that would be considered harassment, would it?
I don't know. What else do you have? Anything else?
You know, last night the Star Wars trailer, the new Star Wars trailer came out. Mm-hmm. It was premiered on Monday Night Football.
Looks incredible. Which,
thank you. I spent a good 4 or 5 hours watching it over and over again last night.
Just how long is the trailer?
About 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And you watched it for four or five hours.
Well,
watch it over and over again.
About
right?
Three, maybe.
Yeah.
Until my wife told me that I had to stop.
So you let your wife tell you what to do?
Apparently I do, yeah.
Apparently you do. You just said you did.
He's a geek.
Not all the time, but sometimes.
Anything else?
There is a movie coming out Friday that may be of interest to you. It's tangentially a part of the geek universe. It's called Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. Have you heard about this?
No.
Professor Marston is the creator of the Wonder Woman character. And okay. This movie is a biography of him, his wife, and a student that he taught in college that became part of their relationship, and they have kind of a three-way relationship going on.
I knew
you would like this movie.
Yeah. Who's in the three-way? Him, his wife,
and a Wonder student?
Woman? Male or female student?
A female student.
All right. Nice. That's the way a three-way should be.
And
I'm not in it with another guy.
Right.
That three-way.
You mean the devil's three-way?
Oh, boy.
It's called the devil's Jeez. Three-way.
I didn't know that.
Or a wobbly age.
Limey knows what a devil's three-way is.
Yeah, he does. That's interesting. So if it's two guys and a woman, it's a devil's three-way.
The devil's
What's
three-way.
What's the other one called?
It's a wobbly H.
Wobbly H? Yes. Sturdy H. Sturdy. It's wobbly.
Is that what the British call it? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I never knew that.
A wobbly
Because it looks like a wobbly H, you know? Never mind. Back to the movie.
It's a capital.
So this movie
right?
so far sounds horrible to me.
It's horrible, isn't it?
No, it sounds horrible. I haven't heard anything interesting about it.
It's basically about how his views on feminism and his wife's and this third person in their relationship kind of catalyzed into what we now know as Wonder Woman. And they got a little freaky. Marston was into bondage and S&M and all sorts of things.
So where do you see this thing? Where do you see it? Where do you go to see it?
It's going to be widely released. I guarantee you it'll be in at least 5 theaters here in the St. Louis area.
Okay. What's it called?
It's called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
All right. Mm. Now, when you're finished, I don't want to make you think you have to just keep going. That's about it. I'm Jim Yelton, and
We didn't really work on what the clothes was going to be.
Well,
so
that's your job. That is my job. That's what you do.
That's why I haven't closed yet, because I just like talking about this stuff. This is
what happens. You're sitting here and you realize you don't have a close. You don't have a way to end, so you just can't.
Oh, no. I keep looking at the clock and going, hey, I've got more time. But
you have 3 minutes.
You've got other stuff to do. So I will close.
We don't. I have a joke to tell. It's about it.
You have a joke. You got other people to be on the show later on in the next hour. Mm-hmm. So no, this is it.
Uh-oh. Hang on. I'm sorry. Hang on a second.
Phone call.
It's the Bandit.
Bandit. Yeah. No, Bill Cleveland cannot go in the playhouse today.
All right, thanks for telling me that. We'll have to wrap it up over the Elton. Thank you. Out.
Oh, I thought he was saying that so that I could be in the playhouse.
No, you can't be in the playhouse.
Gosh darn it.
No, you're only doing a segment. So to wrap it up, is there anything else you want to cover, movie-wise?
Not this week. That's about it for this week. You know, the thing about...
Now, see, that's optimistic. That implies you think you're coming back. Not this week.
Well, I was going to... Right, because here's the thing, and this is why I was a little upset that this was my tryout, because... This is the worst time of year to talk about movies. I mean, it really is.
Broadcasters, this is actually the worst time of year for me to be on the radio. I'd like to be doing something
Which is why I'm glad to be here, because I figure if I can make this work at the worst movie...
Why is this the worst time of year?
Because if you think about it, we've passed the summer movie season.
Okay, but there are things released on Blu-ray, the things that, you know, there's always...
Right, but all of the stuff that was great earlier in the year is not released on Blu-ray or DVD until we get closer to the holidays. So, you know, next month...
movies that are on, like you said, the documentary on HBO. Yeah, people toward that stuff.
We talked about lots of good stuff today, and I'm sure if I'm back next week, we'll have even more good stuff to talk about. But
no, see, that if you said it, first you were optimistic, and you said, if I'm back, that says, you know, you're not sure. You're not quite sure. This is tough business. It really is. Can you feel it?
I feel like you're going to flip a coin when I leave.
No.
And that's...
No, I'm not. I'm going to read my emails. That's what I'm going to do. No, so I'm serious.
Now I'm going to go home and email you 50,000 times from different email addresses.
Now, see, that's funny. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Okay, so we're 45 minutes into it, and I got one good joke in.
Yeah, you did. But here's the problem with it. It was a good joke, but now when I see a bunch of positive emails, I go, that's him. And I'll ignore. You shouldn't have told me the secret, because now I'll ignore them.
When you see 50,000 emails from Guy Fliegman, then you'll know that was... Okay.
But then it's competition. Now that you hear your strategy, your competition's going to send in negative emails.
There's no problem. Max Voice.
Here's the problem. There's no competition.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. That's
the right attitude.
Right.
All right, listen, thank you for driving from Columbia, Missouri. I'll read my emails. I don't know if you'll be back next week or not, but you've got to be tough. You've got to be tough. You got that Mexico thing as backup, at least. You got that.
It's a backup, but I would much rather do this every week. So
how far is Mexico, Missouri from Columbia?
Not far.
How long of a drive?
Half hour. From Columbia?
Yeah.
It's about 30 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's it. Can we play that Lobby Go to the Lobby again? Because that's where we're sending him.
We can, of course.
Skype Driving plays that before the movies start and everything, and in between movies, this thing.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Is that it?
Nope, this is Let's All Go to the Movies.
Oh, I thought we were in the lobby thing.
Oh,
we'll go to the lobby.
Good one, too.
Another screw up.
I messed up.
Just give us the thing we had to begin. Let's All Go where the hot dog does that, where they do that suggestive thing where the hot dog jumps in the bun and it's supposed to arouse people.
And it's supposed to suggest what?
A hot dog in the bun. Okay. What do you think? I mean, all right, thank you for coming in from Columbia, Missouri. Ladies and gentlemen, auditioning for the segment to host the segment movie review, would you please give a big thank you round of applause to Jim Yelton. Yeah, Jim, thank you, Jim.
Thank you guys very much.
Don't try to steal the headphones, because we know they're ours and you didn't come in with your own. So. All right, should I take a break here? All right. Thank you. I'm sure.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And we'll see how it goes. We got other people. Yeah, you understand, I'm going to try other people.
If you can give me a list of names, I can make sure that list is shorter. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll try. If you let the audience will decide. Mark Reardon and Jason Becker are financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus. Stifel's member of the SIPC NYSE. I have to say that or we go to prison. MarkandJason.com is their website. If you have $25,000 or more, and you'd like for somebody who does this for a living to take a look at what you're doing with that money, they'd be happy to do that. That's what happens in your first complimentary meeting with Mark and Jason. Which means, as you know, it doesn't cost you anything. There's no obligation. And I will tell you that when you meet with them, they're not going to pressure you or push papers in front of you and go, sign this, sign this, and sign this. They're merely going to tell you what they think about what you're doing with it. And if they have a different idea or other suggestions, they'll share them with you. You can take their advice or not. It's up to you. But there's nobody who would tell you that a second opinion is a bad idea. I take that back. You know who would tell you that? Your financial advisor that you have now would say, oh, you don't need a second opinion. Well, of course that person doesn't want you to go talk to somebody else, because that somebody else, in this case Mark and Jason, may very well show you something the other advisor never showed you that you can be doing with that money. It's up to you. $25,000 or more. Mark and Jason, the website again. I know you know it by now. You'll hear it later because they sponsor Dan Strauss. It's markandjason.com.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, Lava.
We're joined now by the guy who's on a mission, and his mission is to... I forgot to mention... Our guest, Jim Yelton, was brought to you by Window World. Window World is the number one seller in replacement windows in the United States. And Bill Cleveland is also brought to you by Window World. Almost 50,000 homes in the St. Louis area in just 14 and a half years have had replacement windows by the Window World folks, and they're thrilled to death with them. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Give it up, please, for, I don't know where he is, he's somewhere, Bill Cleveland, everybody.
Yeah.
Hello, Bill. Where are you and where are we going?
I am in Baton Rouge, Louisiana today.
Okay. All right.
I love Baton Rouge, capital city of Louisiana.
Does that mean now, something? Does Baton Rouge mean something? The words?
Well, that right here, number one on my list. Do you know what the definition of Baton Rouge is? Or do you know what Baton Rouge translates
to? I don't, or I wouldn't have asked. Tim, do you know Baton Rouge?
I know it's in the southern eastern tip of Louisiana.
No, you know,
all right, he wasn't paying attention.
Oh,
Baton Rouge.
What no, I don't. Mean? Dan, no, do you know what
it's
it
a Garth Brooks song.
No, you know what it means.
No, I don't.
I know what it means.
Climbing, you do? Did you look
it means red bat.
You cheated.
I didn't look it up. It's French.
Is that
red
true?
Bat.
Red bat?
Is no, it is not red bat. It's red stick.
Oh,
red stick.
There's a difference between a bat and a stick.
There is.
Red stick.
Apparently, the story goes way back when, before this place was even settled, they had two, I believe, Native American tribes, and the sort of boundary between the two, you know, lands that they kind of oversaw was a red stick. And so that's where it became Baton Rouge, red stick. That's why they call it. The stick was, I guess, in the Mississippi River, if I got my facts correct, which maybe I didn't. But that's essentially what the story is.
Almost no sense at all. They threw a red stick in the river, and that's the boundary? Why about just make the river the boundary? I don't get it.
Well, I don't get that either. I don't make up the news. But that is true. Baton Rouge is red stick.
Red stick, Louisiana. Okay.
I'll take a point for that.
And there's red sticks everywhere. Like, you go downtown.
Well, you know what? Here, think about it. Rouge, French, is a word for red. She puts on rouge. Sure. They used to call it, now they call it blush. Same thing, I think. And baton rouge, red baton, red stick. It makes sense. But it's just a weird name for a town. But I get it.
I had French toast sticks at a restaurant here, but they didn't say sticks, they said baton. So they were French baton. That's how it was written on the menu.
Really? Have you had any beignets? Any beignets?
Not yet. I know that's big in New Orleans, but I'm sure they have them here somewhere. It's also home to Louisiana State University, LSU. This is interesting only because they have the only live tiger mascot. For their team. The tiger actually, a real tiger, he actually lives on campus. They have this gigantic, almost zoo-like feature, and he's right in the middle of the college campus. And so, kids, you can walk by if you're going in between class, and you see Mike the Tiger, and you walk right up to him. They get mad if you call it, like, a cage or something. But it's not a cage. It's like a habitat, a very spoiled tiger mascot. And then one other thing I'll mention, have you ever heard of Cane's Chicken Fingers? Have you seen these around town?
I have heard of these, yes.
And it's pretty good. Started here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And what's interesting about Canes is the guy that started it, he went to LSU from Baton Rouge, lived here until just a couple of years ago, apparently. And this was a college project that he had, okay? So he was in some sort of course where they wanted some sort of business plan. And so he put together this idea for Canes chicken fingers and everything that kind of comes with it. You've got a little piece of toast and some of the crinkled French fries or whatever. So he turns in his project. He got an F. He got an F on the project. Well,
I would give him an F, too.
And now he's all over the country.
I'd give him an F, too, because his idea, what happened to my headphones? I can't mm-hmm. turn them over a little bit. For some reason, I lost the volume of my headphones just a little bit. Well, I'd give him an F, too, because his idea was just what? Chicken sticks and some French fries?
Chicken fingers with his own recipe and what? Anyway, so he got, oh, crap, I did it. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Yeah, thanks. He got an F on the project, so he got the last laugh. He's now got locations all over the United States and is a gazillionaire.
You know who Fred Smith is? He's the FedEx guy. And that was a class project. And he said, I have an idea. We ship things by jet instead of just truck. And then he got a C-, I think, on it. Last laugh.
Yeah.
FedEx
I like Fred. Stories like that.
I do, too.
If you want to see some more information about the Baton Rouge and posting some pictures up on my Bill on the Road Facebook page, that's just facebook.com/BillOnTheRoad. And I am Bill Cleveland on the road and on 590 The Fan.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Bill. Bill Cleveland from Baton Rouge.
Now, Bill, when you come back up from Baton Rouge to Memphis, go stop by University of Memphis because they have a live tiger mascot, too.
And SIU Edwardsville had a cougar mm-hmm. in a pen mm-hmm. up there. At one point. I met her.
She was nice.
No, this is like a real.
Do we have time to talk to John?
Sure. We have time to talk to John. Let me do that. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? How you guys going?
We're doing great. Thank you. How are you? Okay. What can we do for you?
Now, you know, when you talk about projects that someone failed and made into another successful business, what about, like, for acting classes? Was there like, a failed actor that didn't pass acting school?
Yeah, Stallone.
Yes, Stallone.
And I could absolutely see why he would fail in acting class. In fact, I talked to him about this. John, you want to hear a little of the interview I did with Stallone?
Yes, sir.
Just talked to him. It's funny. I talked to him this morning. I just checked in with him by satellite. I said, you know, this is so weird because I was saying, I read an article where you failed acting class. Here's what he said.
Well, yeah, I went in there. You know, I started reading Shakespeare. I said, hey, to be or not to be. And the teacher said, no, that's an F. I know what
you're saying. Wow. He's honest about it. That was really him. He's honest about it. How about that, John?
Yeah. Well, I think that's really cool. How did you able to hook up with the satellite all that feed all of a sudden? That's pretty interesting.
Well, it was recorded earlier today. It's constantly on. We have a 24-hour satellite access and special access to celebrities. And
okay.
I don't want to reveal too much about it, but there's a special phone. I pick it up. It signals him. He knows to go to his satellite mic, and then we talk. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't have to get a clearance from Harvey Weinstein there, did you?
No.
To get his permission?
No. No, we didn't. Is there anything else?
No, sir. Thank you very much. Great show. Thank you.
And he's right, though. I love those stories like somebody told. And I wish I could remember because there's so many of them where they go, well, kid, you better go back to the farm because you're never going to make it in Hollywood. And it turns out to be, you know, Cary Grant.
Huge star, yeah.
Yeah, somebody. Speaking of that, the other night, I don't know how, you know, you go to YouTube and one thing leads to something else. And I end up getting onto this Rock Hudson stuff. And I watched some movie clips from Giant. And they, man, was that guy good looking. Rock Hudson was better looking than George Clooney. No, he wasn't. No. He was.
Man crush.
He was unbelievably good. And that was the biggest shock. Here, there are two big shocks to the country when it came to the revelation that somebody was gay. Mm-hmm. Rock Hudson and Liberace, who nobody would ever I thought Liberace was gay.
And George Michael as well. Here. That one kind of took a lot of people for a ride.
I was actually kidding. The Liberace thing was not, that was not a surprise to anybody. George Michael, I think, was.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with anything that Liberace has done, like musical-wise or anything like
he's
that.
He's a piano player. He was definitely very before flamboyant. My time. Beyond, he made Elton John look like John Wayne. Oh, my Liberace. Really, Liberace.
Anyway, I wish my brother George were
those
here.
Those glowing robes and everything that he had.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I saw him. I went and see him in Las Vegas. Put on a fantastic show.
Oh, I bet.
Fabulous.
Yeah. He's a great piano
Came
player.
Came out in a big old fur coat, weighed about 80 pounds. How do you like my rap? That's what he said. And he let the audience lean down. He took his jewelry and touched his coat and stuff. He's a great entertainer, but probably the gayest entertainer ever. And Rock Hudson fooled everybody, except the people on the inside.
Oh.
Well, I think you recognize that music. That means that in 10 seconds, it'll be 5 o'clock, which means it's time for Tim Woodburn and the news, and then, before you know it, the Playhouse. So stay where you are. This is 590 The Fan.
Mike and I are both veterans, both served in the Navy.
We bought our first home together in 2010.
His family had used another insurance product, but I was like, well, I've had USAA for a while. Why don't we call and check the rates?
It was an instant savings, and I should have changed a long time ago.